Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Running Mate by Leah Brunner. Narrated by Kyle Mason and Shayna Somerville. Madden, 3 months prior. Madden Wendell for Congress. I grinned to myself while looking at the pile of my campaign signs and pamphlets. My dream is finally coming true. My attention is drawn back to the large dining room table where my campaign team is chatting with each other energetically. This is the first time we've all been together in one room, and to seeing how positive the group is fills me with gratitude. Since my apartment isn't big enough to host this many people, my parents let us use their house for the meeting. They own a large home in a historic part of Wichita, Kansas. Their dining room is large and open, with bay windows and a massive table. The walls are painted deep red, which looks very regal alongside the cherry wood table and matching chairs. And the fireplace makes the room feel cozy and inviting. There are notebooks and laptops scattered all over the table as everyone talks, sharing ideas and making notes. My cheeks are beginning to hurt because I can't stop smiling. I glance over at my campaign manager, Paul Newhouse, whom I was fortunate enough to meet during my volunteer work. He's tall and slim with steel gray hair and deep brown eyes. He's focused on his laptop, his brows drawn together, probably studying some election polls. My brother David is seated next to him. He's a certified public accountant and thankfully agreed to be the secretary for my campaign. Along with Paul and my brother, there are a dozen others at our meeting. Campaign strategists, graphic designers, and my public relations team. It's chaotic, but I can feel my soul coming alive. Taking a deep breath, I try to soak up this moment. I'm honored that these people will be the ones standing behind me during this process. Paul meets my gaze from across the room, and something about his expression tells me he's summoning me. I smile and begin walking to his side of the table. "You need something?" I ask, once I'm a few feet away from him. "Let's wrap the meeting up. We need to have a chat." He sighs and closes his laptop. His serious demeanor makes my shoulders tense. I nod my head at Paul, then clap my hands together to draw the room's attention. "Thank you all for being here tonight. It's great having the dream team all together." I grin and everyone chuckles. We have to add some humor and fun into this campaign or it will kill our souls. I continue. "This next year will be extremely busy and require a lot of hard work, but I'm confident that we can take on the challenge. I know tonight's meeting has been grueling since we are in the thick of finalizing my campaign strategy and confirming endorsements, but I'm beyond grateful to have you all here. And I'll see you all in 2 weeks for our next meeting." There are a few cheers and claps, then everyone starts packing up their belongings. I see them out, making sure to shake all of their hands and call them by name so they know how important they are to me. When I return to the dining room, my excitement turns to dread once I land my eyes on Paul, who's still sitting at the opposite end of the table. He always looks pretty serious, but he has been unusually quiet this evening. Paul, David, and myself are the only ones left in the room now. Paul's eyes shift to David before speaking. "Can I talk with you privately, Madden?" I'm taken aback for a moment. Paul knows I trust my brother implicitly. But according to the sweat forming on his brow, he has horrible news to share. My stomach tightens. I've dreamt of becoming a congressman since I was in high school. That goal propelled me into law school and countless hours of volunteer work on political campaigns over the years since then. If this fails, it will devastate me. I'll have to continue working as a lawyer, which was never part of my long-term career plan. The three of us stare at each other awkwardly for a few seconds before David stands from his chair and begins to exit the room to give us some privacy. "Wait." I hold my hand up, urging David to stop. No disrespect, Paul, but my brother is someone I confide everything in. Anything you need to say to me, you can say in front of David as well. Very well. I nervously run my hand through my blonde hair as I watch Paul walk ahead of us toward the armchairs by the fireplace. Once he's out of earshot, David whispers mockingly, "Somebody's in trouble." I try to give him a nonchalant smile, but I feel queasy. "Have a seat. I'll try to make this as straightforward as possible." Paul motions to the two chairs in front of the fireplace, and David and I lower ourselves into them a little uneasily. Paul is only looking at me now. I wish my parents hadn't lit the fire, because I can already feel sweat trickling down my back. "Madden, you hired me because I'm good at what I do. You've watched me help several politicians get elected into office, and that's my hope for you as well. To prepare for our first meeting tonight, I've been studying past congressional representatives who served in Kansas. After scouring over the data these past few weeks, I have a few concerns." Paul takes a deep breath. "If I didn't know how important this congressional campaign is to you, I might not even mention such a seemingly trivial issue, but..." David and I look at each other nervously. I make a circling motion with my hand, urging Paul to continue. "Kansas is a conservative Republican state. Since you're running as a Libertarian, you already have the odds against you. My research shows that every state representative before you was not only married but had children as well. My point being, in contrast to congressmen before you, voters may see you as uncommitted and immature, especially because you're much younger than anyone who has represented this state. I'm afraid they won't see you as someone who takes the needs of their families seriously." He pauses and clears his throat, contemplating his words. "To put it bluntly, married individuals are much more likely to win the conservative vote. Kansas's voters want to see a family man who exudes strong morals and family values. I know you have the drive to serve your constituents, but I'm not confident that voters will see that." Once Paul finishes, the room is eerily quiet. Even David's good humor has vanished, and his skin looks pale. None of us know what to say. After a few seconds of processing, I'm able to take a deep breath and form words again. "But have there been any single men who have ran before? Most candidates are older and therefore happen to be married. But is it really a prerequisite?" "There have been single men who have run before." Paul clears his throat. "They didn't win." I cross my arms over my chest. "How do you know it was their relationship status that lost them the vote, though? Couldn't it have been a lack of supporters or a botched campaign?" "Exit polls. A majority of voters who chose the married opponent reported they based their choice on his family situation." I blink. "You're joking." "Unfortunately, no, which proves my point. You'll look like a much stronger candidate if you have a supportive wife by your side, especially since whoever runs against you will likely be much older and married with kids, which will give them a leg up," Paul states with confidence. My eyebrows shoot up. I know I must look befuddled, but I am having a hard time grasping what he's trying to say. Finally, I guffaw and say a little too loudly, "What am I supposed to do, Paul, purchase a mail-order bride from Russia?" I hear David snicker from the chair next to me, but after Paul shoots a glare in his direction, he quickly disguises the chuckle as a cough. "I'm certain a Russian bride would not win over the American people, Madden. Try to take this seriously." Paul lets out a heavy, annoyed sigh. "Listen, you are a young, handsome man from a well-respected family. There must be a line of excellent young ladies trying to catch your eye. Or, if you're already seeing someone, now would be the perfect time to settle down." "You're not seriously suggesting that I get married just for this political campaign, are you?" I take a moment to contemplate, but the longer I think about it, the hotter my anger boils inside of me. All I want to do is get to Congress and help make positive change for the American people. And you're telling me the very people I want to help will doubt my motives just because there isn't a woman by my side? You're upset, I understand. But you have to remember the demographics of Kansas's 4th District. 56% of residents are married, and on average those married couples have 2 to 3 children. It's a near certainty that whoever runs against you will not only be married with children, but will also be a Republican. That means that right off the bat, over half the population will identify more strongly with your opponent than with you. Paul comes around my chair and places his hand on my shoulder in a comforting gesture. I take a deep breath. This is ridiculous. I've lived in Kansas my entire life. I know the needs of the people here, not to mention that my father is a well-known orthopedic surgeon in the area and has secured a lot of supporters for me with his pull alone. But none of that matters if I don't have a ring on my finger? When did I get transported back to the pioneer days? Paul rubs his temple. By your reaction, I assume you don't have a serious girlfriend. No, Paul, I'm afraid I'm very single. I don't even attempt to hide my sarcasm. David stands and begins pacing in front of the fireplace. Okay, Madden, I know this isn't ideal, and I assume you haven't even entertained the idea of marriage since you and Jen broke up. I scoff, and David holds up his hands in acknowledgement. Just go with me on this. What about a marriage of convenience? I stare at David in utter confoundment. He must take my silence for approval because he continues. I mean, arranged marriages, marriages of convenience have been going on for centuries. Maybe this is just my logical CPA brain talking, but if we take romance out of the equation and just find a woman who holds the same values as you, we could make this work. And he has some time, right, Paul? Paul perks up a bit. Good point, David. What sane woman would agree to marry me on the fly? David's smile falters. Well, we have time to figure that out. Paul turns his attention back to me. Do you remember the Nebraskan senator I was campaign manager for 2 years ago? He was much older than you, but he married the daughter of an influential man to gain supporters. They ended up falling in love and are extremely happy together today. It happens more than you'd think. I scrub my hand down my face, exhausted by this conversation. I can almost feel my lifelong dreams slipping through my fingers. This is madness, a marriage of convenience? I'm sure it seems archaic, but this wouldn't be the first time a politician considered this kind of arrangement for political pull. Think of it as an alliance, like one country helping another, Paul offers. Shaking my head back and forth, I stand. I need some time to think about this. David and Paul nod and say their goodbyes, but I hardly hear them. As I drive home to my apartment, feeling exasperated, I know that I'm in for the most sleepless night of my adult life. I wake up the next morning feeling stiff and exhausted from tossing and turning all night. Deciding I need to focus on work instead of dwelling on my marital status, I walk to grab my laptop off my desk in the corner, but find it empty. I sigh. I must have left the laptop at my parents' house in my rush to leave last night. I grab my wallet and shoot Mom a text, letting her know I'm on my way over. Compared with bigger cities, Wichita's morning traffic is pretty mild, so I make it across town to College Hill quickly. After pulling my Audi into my parents' driveway, I walk across the yard and straight into their house without knocking. My parents tend to be on the formal side, but they have always made it clear to me and my 3 younger siblings that their door is always open to us. Striding into the dining room, I see my parents sitting at opposite ends of the large dining table, as usual. Despite having the day off, my dad is wearing slacks and a long-sleeved dress shirt. His formerly blonde hair, now turned gray, is combed neatly to the side, and his blue eyes are focused on the newspaper in front of him. My mother, who also doesn't know the wonder that is sweatpants, is wearing a long-sleeved crew-neck dress in a lilac color. She looks as lovely as ever, with her dark brown hair and high cheekbones. "Good morning. Have some coffee if you want it." Dad looks up at me over his newspaper and pauses. "Well, you look awful. On second thought, please get yourself some coffee right away." I roll my eyes. Coffee sounds incredible, though, so I make my way toward the kitchen. Tragically, Mom glances up from her Kindle as I pass her chair. "Oh, my, you do look terrible. I had assumed that your father was just being critical, as usual." She narrows her eyes at Dad, who expertly ignores her. "I didn't sleep much last night." I run my fingers through my already messed up hair. "I'll tell you about it after I have some coffee. Maybe you two can help." My parents look confused, but stay quiet, until I return to the dining room a moment later with my steaming mug. After taking a seat and savoring a few sips of my coffee in silence, Dad folds his newspaper and lays it to the side. "Okay, what can we help with?" With a deep breath, I catch them up on my conversation with Paul and David from the night before, recanting the dilemma of my singleness and apparently needing a wife to get a seat in Congress. When I finish, Dad furrows his brow. "That's preposterous. Does this Paul fellow even know what he's talking about?" I grimace. "Yes, Paul emailed me the links to his research last night. I scrolled through some of it and it checks out." Mom's eyes twinkle with delight, and I internally groan. She's been waiting for a good excuse to marry me off and plan a wedding, especially since my little sister Sophie eloped.
"Well, we know plenty of lovely young ladies. Oh, just think of the wedding we could plan."
She claps her hands together.
"Settle down, Diane,"
Dad barks at Mom from across the table.
"There's no reason for any son of mine to marry someone if he doesn't want to."
I stand and walk over to the fireplace where I left my computer bag last night. After powering on my MacBook, I walk back over to my father and pull up Paul's email for him to look over. "I've been up all night thinking about this, and it doesn't look like anything will get me elected without a wife." Dad busies himself scrolling through the links Paul sent, while Mom grabs a notepad and starts writing a list of her friends' single daughters. I finish my cup of coffee and walk back into the kitchen to get a refill while my dad stares at my computer with a stern brow. When I enter the dining room again, I see my mother is making a new Pinterest board, Madden's wedding, on her phone. Finally, Dad has read enough. He closes the laptop and folds his hands together.
"Well, I suppose you need to decide how important it is to you to become a congressman. How far are you willing to go?"
Mom sets her phone down and looks at me.
"You have some time to date, right? I mean, you won't announce your campaign until mid-January."
"I suppose so." Dad scratches his chin, deep in thought.
"Marriage seems extreme. Can't you simply fake an engagement? Then you could stage a breakup after you're elected and everyone goes home happy."
"An engagement doesn't really scream committed family man now, does it? People end engagements all the time. Marriage would make him look much more serious, Ted."
Mom shoots Dad an indignant look, then continues.
"It's the end of May already, so realistically you'd want to be engaged by October."
She calculates the months on her fingers.
"October seems fast."
I draw in a shaky breath.
"The timeline isn't ideal, but people have met and gotten married in far less time, right?"
"I wouldn't say that's a ringing endorsement,"
Dad mutters into his coffee as he takes a sip. I slump in my chair. I've worked so hard for this.
At the end of the day, I think I'm willing to do whatever it takes to get to Congress.
If this is really what you want to do.
Dad frowns in disapproval, then heaves a gusty, resigned sigh.
Well, it's not like the marriage has to last forever.
Mom's jaw drops. Don't put that idea in his head. But Dad's comment has planted a seed in my thoughts.
He's not wrong. What if I could find a girl who would be willing to marry me for just a few years?
Madden! Mom looks between Dad and I in horror.
Dad smiles slowly, probably because he knows he's making my mother fume. You know, several of my friends have a marriage clause in their daughter's trust funds. I'd be willing to bet that one of those girls might be willing to marry you just to get their hands on their trust money.
Mom purses her lips at my dad, then turns her head toward me.
Madden, think of the scandal if word got out. It would ruin your chances of getting elected.
I nod, conceding the point. But I have an answer for it.
Don't most people sign prenups before getting married? We could just throw in a non-disclosure agreement as well.
But will a woman like that make a good politician's wife? You need someone poised and proper by your side.
Mom rips her list of eligible ladies from the notepad and shakes it toward me.
These are the type of women who will get you to Congress.
Will one of those women agree to marry me in 4 months and be willing to dissolve the marriage after I get elected?
Mom throws up her hands and looks frantically at Dad.
Ted, tell your son he's being irrational.
Dad purses his lips thoughtfully.
Your mother has a point. You'll probably need to meet a few of these trust fund babies first, and see if you can find one who'll be an asset to your campaign.
I grin back at him. You're brilliant. Mom stomps out of the room, mumbling something about not wanting anything to do with our villainous plans. I focus my attention back to my dad.
Would it really be so horrible? As long as the woman got something out of the marriage as well?
I'll get my seat in Congress, she'll get her trust fund. It's not an ideal situation, obviously. Whether it's for 2 years or 50, marriage is a big commitment.
Dad glances tiredly at the door my mother just stormed through.
But if you really want to do this, I can get you a list of names.
Yes, I want to do this. Get me a list and I'll go on dates until I find one suitable enough. I scratch my chin as I think.
It can't be just anyone. She'll have to play the part of a doting wife and be intelligent enough to win over the public.
My father smirks.
And be pleasant enough for you to live with for a few years.
I throw my head back with a groan.
Ugh, this already sounds impossible. But I have to at least try.
Chapter 1. Odette. My flight lands in Wichita on a hot August evening, and everything looks wonderfully familiar. Dwight D. Eisenhower Airport is my first reality of being home. Closing my eyes, I take a deep breath, and I'm almost positive that I already smell the wheat, cows, sunflowers, and all the Kansas things. I know it's impossible, but a girl can pretend. I never thought I'd move back home at 28 years old. But my dad's recent stroke made it imperative. I couldn't leave my mom to take care of him on her own. It's my duty as their only child to be there for my parents like they were always there for me. And I missed them terribly while I was in D.C. Having a job I loved didn't replace the feeling of family and community I left behind in Kansas. With a smile on my face, I walk down the long hallway leading toward the exit. As I get close to the end of the hallway, a familiar voice calls to me, Odette! I swivel at the sound and see Kate waving at me from outside the security exit. I run to her and wrap her in a ridiculous embrace, both of us giggling and spinning in circles in the middle of the airport. A few people nearby stare at us, the two crazy women acting like little girls, but I don't care. I haven't seen my best friend in over a year. My eyes become watery the moment Kate wraps her arms around me. Her hug feels like home. There is simply nothing that compares to the bond of a childhood friend. A friend I grew up with, who knows everything about me. Oh my gosh, it's so good to see you! I step back to get a better view of her. Kate looks basically the same as she did when we were teens, though a prettier adult version now. Her dark, curly hair is much shorter than it was the last time I saw her. I didn't realize she got a pixie cut, but it looks exceptional, especially as it accentuates the ornery twinkle in her enormous hazel eyes. But then I notice her dress and I can barely disguise the laugh that escapes from my mouth. Kate, you know I love you, but what on earth are you wearing? She just giggles. I want to be the most unforgettable teacher my students ever have. When they tell their children and their grandchildren about high school, I want them to say, Mrs. Augustine was the most vivacious, creative, and inspiring teacher I ever had. So, naturally, I've been dressing like Miss Frizzle from the Magic School Bus. She twirls around in her 1950s-style dress, festooned with a colorful insect print. Miss Frizzle taught small children. You're a biology teacher at a private high school. Oh, you're no fun. Quit bugging me about my amazing dress. She erupts into laughter. I shake my head, but I suppress an amused smile. Kate has always cracked herself up, and I love her for it, even though she can be so over the top sometimes. I know you're jealous of my dress, but don't worry. I'll get one for you. Kate takes my carry-on bag and slips it onto her shoulder. Actually, I would have changed before I picked you up, but we're going to be late to the reunion as it is. I groan. I can't believe I let you talk me into going to our high school reunion. Oh, stop. It'll be fun. Plus, we can see who's aging well and who's still single. Kate waggles her eyebrows suggestively. I don't know, and I don't really care, I say as we walk to the escalator. If I didn't want to date them in high school, I'm pretty sure I won't want to date them now. I wonder if Madden will be there. I saw him a few months ago, and let me tell you something, he is somehow even more gorgeous than he was 10 years ago. And unlike most guys our age, he still has all of his hair. If a heart eye emoji could take human form, it would look like Kate's face right now. At the mention of Madden Windell, I feel a blush creep up my neck. I always thought he was extremely handsome, but he never paid any attention to me. I'm pretty sure, in fact, that he never knew I existed. We moved in very different social circles. I feign a stumble at the bottom of the escalator, so hopefully Kate doesn't see my blush. I scoff in pretend disgust. You're a happily married woman. Why on earth are you ogling Madden Windell? He always seemed like an airhead to me. He was so busy playing football, I'm not sure how he had any time to study. I wasn't looking at him for me. I was looking at him for my lovely, very single best friend who just so happens to be moving back to the same city Madden lives in, Kate says as we reach the baggage claim. I have barely stepped off the plane and you are already trying to marry me off, and to someone who would never even look twice at me. I step forward and search for my suitcase amongst the sea of bags rotating through the carousel. I hear Kate mutter something under her breath about how I need to have a little fun. Then she sighs loudly. Okay, I'll stop pestering you, I promise. I just adore you and want you to be happy, you know that, right? Yes, of course I do, I say over my shoulder, spotting my plain black suitcase coming toward me. I grab it off the conveyor belt and we walk toward the exit, Kate looping her arm through mine. You really shouldn't pack so many books. Your carry-on must be well over the weight limit. She shifts my bag on her shoulder as we walk to the parking garage. Playfully, I wink and nudge her hip with my own. I only packed the important ones, of course. She laughs as she unlocks her Jeep, then unceremoniously tosses my heavy carry-on into the back. So, how do you feel about stopping for a drink?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?